Tune In takes the Beatles from before their childhoods right up to the final night of 1962, when, after packing several years into the previous three, they know success is theirs to grasp, but have no clue they're on the cusp of a whole new kind of fame, a white-hot and ever-royal celebrity. These, then, are the formative years, the less visible years, the pre-madness years, and in many respects the most absorbing and entertaining period of them all. This can also be claimed for the others, of course. What the research yells loudly is that the Beatles didn't begin to be remarkable when they upped and took over Britain, or, all the more amazingly, America and the rest of the world, and that they didn't suddenly become funny when they filmed A Hard Day's Night, or beguiling when recording Rubber Soul. It shouts that their compelling urge to move on fast, to innovate and progress, didn't start with Revolver or Sgt. Pepper, or even when, in the last chapters of this book, their first record came out. Everything was already revved up and running in the halls, houses and streets of an exceptional city, the only place these people could have come from, the only place these events could have happened, Liverpool, that great matrix of Anglo-Celtic alchemy. From her Second World War bomb sites rose a thriving live music scene the like of which existed nowhere else, a scene in which the Beatles were sharper, smarter, faster, funnier than their many rivals, and where they also polished, well before they had hits, that tightly engaged relationship with their public. In other words, those later world-changing Beatles are these Beatles, just lesser known, local, not global. They're the same blokes with the same instinctive, intuitive originality and humour, the same bluntness and abhorrence of sham, living the present to the full, and sowing seeds that would flower later. Again, though, how? I've tried to thread together the lives and relationships of John, Paul, George, Richie, Stuart, Pete, Brian Epstein, George Martin, and other crucial players. Everyone is in their context, and worlds run on parallel and occasionally interweaving tracks before properly connecting, characters creating the circumstances to dictate an outcome. The Lennon and McCartney partnership is one among many deep explorations, told thoroughly in their words and deeds. George and Ringo were essential to the Beatles, but John and Paul drove the bus and wrote the catalogue, and theirs is an especially fascinating tale. Two needle-sharp grammar school boys and then young men, steeped in post-war British culture, but with a passion for America and its great music, close friends with a deep admiration for each other's talent and understanding of each other's moods and personalities. Their determination, their egos and their creative rivalry made them the greatest songwriters of the age, and I've tried to show how it began. The Beatles manifestly rejected labels and categories in all they did, so it doesn't matter if you call them the ultimate rock band or the ultimate pop group or whatever else, they just were. And theirs is the best story. Every performer, band, producer, impresario has one, and many of them are great and worthy of fine biographies, but there's nothing like the Beatles story to legitimately go everywhere and strongly connect everything to everyone. It's a blockbuster history with surprises at every turn, many heroes and a few villains, unparalleled triumphs, great joys and genuine tragedies, the ebbs and flows of human lives, plus an avalanche of fortuitous chances and coincidences that defy the laws of probability. From the project's conception, I've seen it as the Beatles in their times, them in their world and the world right about them. And now it's all this. Mark Lewisohn, England, 2013.